Hey, you know what? It's really fun to be here.
Y'all know that theme music?
Pierce buries it. Tatum drives down and throws it down.
This is my empty. That's the end of your good I be.
What's up? How we doing? And welcome to a therapy session of the Banner Banter Podcast. I'm your host and favorite Boston Celtics season ticket holder, Timmy G. How's everyone doing? I know it's been a very, very long time since I ended the podcast, and a lot of people have talked to me. Come on, come back. Just do an episode. And I've decided to do an episode. It's been a long, fun, enjoyable 82-game season. I've only missed like two or three games at TD Garden this year, and I've held a lot in, and this is my opportunity to get it out. Is there going to be a podcast after every playoff game going forward? Absolutely the fuck not. Is this going to be an opportunity for me to maybe do it once a week? Yeah, who knows, but chances are probably not. Just one episode and we'll see what happens down the road, because I've enjoyed not doing it, but I have missed the outlet of ranting and chatting with you about the Boston Celtics. So I hope if you're listening, you're doing well and your family's doing well as well, and your Celtics pride is bleeding green like no tomorrow. So yeah, I just got to get some things off my chest, but we'll get right into it. Miami Heat, Boston Celtics, another playoff series coming up after the Miami Heat lose to the Philadelphia 76ers in the first play-in game, and then they beat the Chicago Bulls 112-91 to be the eighth seed, just like they were last year. They beat the Milwaukee Bucks, who were the one seed last year. And to be honest with you, the thing I'm going to focus about here is zone, 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 zone. Oh, wow, look at that. More zone defense. Oh, man, what is this? More zone defense. That's all the Miami Heat are going to do, because they do not have good man-to-man one-on-one defenders. Do you think Terry Rozier can guard Derek White or Drew Holiday? Do you think Duncan Robinson can guard Jaylen Brown? Do you think Caleb Martin can guard Jason Tatum? Do you want me to keep going? Like, come on. They can do a 1-3-1, which leaves the baseline wide open for lobs for Tingus Pingus, a.k.a. Kristaps Porzingis. They can do a 1-2-2, which means flashes in the middle of the zone right at the free throw line. Who hits really good free throws? Oh, Tingus Pingus, a.k.a. Kristaps Porzingis. And they can do a 2-3. They can do an extended 3-2, and that leaves your wide open corner three-point shooters, which has been a very good thing for the Boston Celtics this year. So, again, zone, zone, zone. They're going to play zone, and the Celtics for years and years haven't been able to beat it, but they have played the Heat year after year after year. So what the fuck are we doing and just beat the goddamn zone? I literally could just say beat the zone and we'll move on and end this podcast, but we're not going to do that. But earlier this year, the Boston Celtics beat the Miami Heat three times, one time at the Garden in October by 8, very early in the season, and then the other two times were in Miami. In January, it was by 33, and then in February, it was only by 4. But here's the issue. Kevin Love is on this team. Kevin Love had a very good game against the Chicago Bulls, and I think he went to the free throw line like 10 or 12 times. You ready for this? Kevin Love has never lost an Eastern Conference playoff series. I'm being dead serious. He is 12-0 when he played with the Cavs, and he's been 3-0 since he's been with the Heat. That's insane, right? Kevin Love is 15-0 in the playoffs. And folks, I'm just not talking about like he's won 15 games. He's 15-0 in series against Eastern Conference teams while he's playing for the Eastern Conference. Absolutely insane. So yeah, we swept him. Went 3-0 this year. Yeah. Kevin Love is 15-0 against Eastern Conference teams. It's just absolutely insane. But of course, the really big news is Jimmy Butler. You know, he's out a few weeks with an MCL injury, and I listen, you don't want to see someone like Jimmy Butler get hurt. You know, he's one of the best players in the NBA. Playoff Jimmy is, you know, as much as it hurts us sometimes, it is unbelievable to watch. And thank God we don't have number 12 to chirp at him this year to rile him up. But, you know, everyone's saying that he's going to be out with out a few weeks with an MCL injury. But, oh my God, was that Jimmy Butler? Like, that's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid to hear, like, that Undertaker music like we did at WrestleMania 40. And everyone just loses their mind and Jimmy Butler returns. But, listen, the Miami Heat did make a big trade over the offseason. Terry Rozier, he's played in the playoffs before with this Boston Celtics team. He's made it to the Eastern Conference Finals before. He has a lot of experience. He's, you know, here's the thing. It was Kyle Lowry last year, that all annoyed the living fuck out of us, and now it could be Terry Rozier. Terry Rozier, if he plays in the series, right now he has a neck injury, but if he plays in this series, he's going to score like 30 points one of the games, and we are all going to be furious. I'm just telling you that right now. Like Tyler Hero, he's healthy. Wasn't healthy last year. Duncan Robinson is much better this year than he was last year. You could say he's their new Gabe Vincent or Caleb Martin, if you will. But oh, what do you know? Caleb Martin's still on this team, and I still have nightmares thinking about Caleb Martin and how he became literally the greatest basketball player of all time in the Eastern Conference Finals last year. Oh, yeah, and by the way, other breaking news, they still have Eric Spoelstra, who is so goddamn good as a coach, arguably the best coach in the NBA, and he can make reasonable guys great. Look at Nikola Jokic. I butchered his last name there, but I'm not even going to pronounce it, but Nikola, he is a good player now. And it's all because of that Heat culture. But the Heat have been a very, very weird team this year. Fifth lowest scoring team in the league. Third least most field goals made per game. But they're top 12 in three-point shooting. Like, it's so weird. They're bottom five in rebounding, but they're top five in defense. Least amount of blocks per game. So what does that mean for the Boston Celtics? You have to attack the rim. Yes, I know Missoula ball. Shoot the threes. But for the love of God, you can attack the rim in a zone. You just keep that ball moving and moving and moving and moving and moving and no iso ball and moving and moving, and you're going to get open three-pointers and easy attacks to the rim. And then this is where I go on my rant, okay? Listen, I just gave you all those numbers, and you're like, wait, they're 12th in three-point shooting? Come on, the Boston Celtics, what are we, top five? They're bottom five in rebounding? We're a very good rebounding team. So all those numbers really don't afraid, you know, really don't scare you, right? Because the Celtics have the best offensive rating in the NBA, arguably one of the best in the history of the NBA, second best defensive rating, best net rating, top three assist to turnover ratio, second in three-point shooting. We can go on and on and on, but none of that motherfucking matters anymore. Everyone has a clean slate. It is a brand new season. The game slows down, and the Celtics better not slow down, because let's be honest, when they slow down, they're not a great basketball team. They're still a very good basketball team, but they're not great. But folks, the Boston Celtics are the 12th slowest team pace-wise during the regular season in the NBA, and that cannot be the case in the playoffs. I'm sorry, it just can't be. The Knicks, the Hawks, the Bulls, the Magics, the Nuggets, the Cavs, the T-Wolves, and the Clippers all play slower than them, and the games slow down in the playoffs. And all those teams that I just mentioned, they're all in the playoffs. Knicks, the 2 seed. The Bulls. I'm sorry, not the Bulls. They had an opportunity to be the 8 seed, but then you also have the Magic and the Cavs. That's who you're playing in the second round if you do move on past the Miami Heat. So if you think that the Celtics got this offensive rating, the greatest offense that we've seen in so many years, they have to play fast. When they're up 20, don't slow down. Don't do it. For the love of fucking God, don't do it. We've seen it all year, and I'm sick of it, and I'm tired of it, and it really annoyed me. You could just see the game slow down. It was like Joe Mazzulla hit the instant replay button, but forward, or whatever the case may be, slow-mo button, whatever the case may be you can do on the Xfinity on your Xfinity remote when you hit play and then pause and then fast forward. It kind of moves a little, whatever. But when you slow down and play iso ball, and iso ball with this team just isn't it. It just doesn't work. Like, Tatum cannot play iso ball. He has to make sacrifices, which he's done this year, for sure. But it's been good sometimes, and it's been bad sometimes, those things being the sacrifices that he's made. But he has to do a little bit more during the playoffs. When we're talking about late-game situations, it doesn't have to be Jason Tatum every single time. Yeah, we could talk about his good clutch numbers. Yeah, we could talk about the eye test. Are those numbers really that good? Whatever the case may be, but not every shot has to be a tribute to Kobe Bryant. Seriously, it doesn't have to be. Jason Tatum is a good enough player to get to the rim at the end of the game and be able to get a foul called and get to the free throw line. Jason Tatum is good enough to know that if someone is cutting back door and there's two guys on him, he can find him. If Derek White is going off, let him go off. Play fast. Be yourself. Don't slow down because someone else is playing slow. And listen, I'm not saying all this is on Tatum. This is also on Jalen. This is also on Joe Mazzulla, the coaching staff, everyone involved. But there are so many days off in between games now, right? Like, game one is Sunday. Game two is Wednesday. So why not just go balls to the goddamn wall and run and run and run? Seriously. But the five things that I'm kind of looking for in this Heat series, the first is, don't let Bam Adebayo own this series being physical, especially if he brings the ball up. Just don't let him back everyone down, and then next thing you know, all eyes are on the ball, and someone's cutting back door, or they're setting a back screen or a flare screen, and next thing you know, he's skipping the ball across the court for a wide-open three-pointer for Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson, and Caleb Martin. That's going to absolutely drive us crazy. But at the same time, I think we can all agree that Bam Adebayo is a much more physical player than Porzingis, right? I think we can all agree on that. But Porzingis is going to have to step up his level of physicality, especially against Bam Adebayo, because if you can match Bam Adebayo's physicality, you may be able to beat this team quicker than we all think. And just so everyone knows right now, I'm not doing any predictions. I don't give a fuck about any other team except for the Boston Celtics. I don't care if Knicks 76ers go 7 or 4 or 5, whatever. I don't care about the Bucks Pacers series. I don't care about Cavs Magic. I only care about the Boston Celtics. I don't care about predictions. The only prediction I want to be successful is that Banner 18 will be ours in June. That's all that I care about. Number two, get out on their shooters. Bump them off cuts. Bump them off screens. Don't let them pop and, you know, do pick and pops, all that stuff. Be physical with them. Throw a little shoulder in them. Throw them off their track, their way of getting to the ball. This is so weird talking again about the Celtics. Like, I feel like I'm forgetting some basketball terminology, but just if Duncan Robinson is coming off of a curl, someone step up and hit him. And what I mean by that is let them run in, like let Duncan Robinson run into Al Horford and just be like, oh shit. And then when he catches the ball, he can't catch and shoot. Like, it's little things like that that the Heat can do to you that you have to do to them. And then of course, number three is beat the zone defense, please, for the love of God. It's like everyone's seen it. Like my niece, who's currently playing basketball, she sees zones, right? Like everyone's seen it. Just beat it. And then number four is be confident. You are the better team, but don't take it easy. Just because Jimmy Butler isn't playing, you can't take it easy. There's still Duncan Robinson. He has proved himself in this league. There's still Caleb Martin. There's Nikola. There's Haywood. Haywood Highsmith. He's a good player. There's just so many good players on the Heat that can beat you. But you have so many great players on our team, right? I feel like my brain is going 7 million miles an hour, and this is why it's a therapy session, and this is why it's so beautiful. I go to therapy every week, so it's like I just let my brain just go, and this is what it is. And then finally, force the Miami Heat to make bad decisions. You want to know why? Because it's rare, like Ric Flair. Woo! But force them to make bad decisions, because that way you get easy buckets. They don't turn the ball over a lot, but when they do, they get all out of sorts. 44 games this year, the Miami Heat had 12 turnovers or less, and they went 27-17. Pretty good, right? But they had 38 games where they had 13 turnovers or more, and they were 19-19. That's a huge difference. You have a top two defense in the league. So, I don't know. Have them force turnovers, because when the Celtics force 13 or more turnovers, they're 22-6. Huh, not bad, huh? 22-6. So force turnovers, please. Thank you. Now that all that is over, I just have a few thoughts on this team going forward. Now, I don't want to talk about the Miami Heat anymore. I may mention them, but I just want to talk about kind of like each individual player and the team overall. And one thing that really comes to mind is home court. The Celtics were 37-4 this year, 32-9 last year at TD Garden. Celtics are the first seed this year. Last year, they were the two seed. Back when they won it in 08, they were the number one seed. They had a 35-6 home record and, of course, finished in first place in the East. They played 26 games in the 2008 playoffs and went 13-1 at home. But they went 3-9 on the road. And listen, I don't want that either. I would obviously love the 13-1 at home. But last year, the Boston Celtics were 5-6 at home and 6-3 on the road. So, I mean, shit, if you can be 13-3 on the road, 13-3 at home and then 3-3 on the road, that makes everyone happy, right? You're not playing that many games. But, I mean, you know, you look at the Celtics in 08, 7 games in round 1, 7 games in round 2, 6 in round 3, and then 6 in round 4, aka the NBA Finals. So 13-1 at home, 5-6 for last year's team. Like, what the fuck are we doing? And then the year that they went to the finals, they were 8-4 on the road and 6-6 at home. This team can win on the road. We know that. But now they have to take advantage being at home. 37-14 at TD Garden. Like, you have to take advantage of that. They lost to the Knicks in March, then the Nuggets, the Clippers, and the Lakers at home. That was it. Literally, you lost at home a couple weeks ago. You lost a couple games in January and then that stupid Lakers game in February. Like, you lost to one Eastern Conference team at home this year, which was the New York Knicks a couple weeks ago, and let's be honest, they probably weren't even trying that game. Minus the bubble, in the playoffs, the road team, when it's Celtics Heat, is 10-4 during the playoffs. So if you take away the bubble, over the last couple years that we've played the Miami Heat, the road team is 10-4. Change that. Change that. Win two at TD Garden. Start off 2-0. Let them win game 3. And then you win game 4 there and you come back home for game 5 and win it. Maybe you lose game 5 too, but then you win on the road and you're 2-1 at home and 2-1 on the road. Again, that's perfectly fine. But you have to have a winning record. You can't be 5-6 like you were last year and then 6-3 on the road. Like, you have to have a winning record. 37-4. One loss against the Eastern Conference Finals team. Beat every single fucking team in the East. Like, come on. Because every single team will figure out how to play zone defense on you. So figure it the fuck out. Like, I cannot stress it enough. I've probably said zone defense more than any other word that I have this entire podcast. Zone, zone, zone. Every single team looks at the Celtics and Joe Mazzulla and goes, we're going to play zone. They're going to be fucked. Because when the game slows down, zone defense, and there's not a lot of guys moving and they're just ball watching, it's going to hurt them every single time. And listen, there's going to be rust early because, I mean, some of these guys haven't played in like 10 days, you know, after that Knicks loss on, when was that? April 11th, I think the Knicks game was. Yeah, that Thursday night. Yeah, April 11th, they haven't played in 10 days. So there's going to be some rust, you know. We have to be patient with that. They're not going to come out of the gate firing. Listen, if they are, I'll be up in section 315 and you'll hear me. But player-wise, you know, when I think about like Al Horford, I just want him to continue to do the little things. Al Horford has just been solid this year. Sure, some nights he doesn't have any points and he may only have 2 or 3 rebounds, maybe a block, couple assists, but you're not upset about it because of the defense that he played, doing all the little things, setting the right screens, being a great leader that he is. But every single player on this team should want to win a ring for Al Horford. Then you have someone like Peyton Pritchard, right? He's been so good this year. I think he finished this season as the highest offensive rating player in the NBA, at like 122 point something. Absolutely insane. When his number is called, he's ready to go. But I don't want him to do too much either, right? If he could be kind of like Gabe Vincent was last year for the Heat in the Eastern Conference Final, that would be ideal. Come in, win them some games, whether it's on the glass. He's a great offensive rebounder, making that extra pass, because what Peyton has done over the last couple weeks has been absolutely unbelievable. But he's not going to be getting the same amount of touches and the same amount of playing time. So how can he impact games moving forward is going to be very interesting. And then when you think about someone else coming off the bench, you think about Sam Hauser. Just keep shooting, man. Keep shooting. Don't be afraid to get physical and get some rebounds. I mean, there was a game this year, I think it was against the Bulls, where Sam Hauser had 10 rebounds in a game. And I'm not asking Sam Hauser to get 10 rebounds every game. But if Sam Hauser can continue to play his okay defense, you know, it's not great. It's not ideal. Sometimes it's solid. But if he can hit 2 or 3 threes, play good defense, get 3 or 4 rebounds, what a girl wants, what a girl needs. That's exactly what I'm talking about. And speaking of needs, Drew Holiday. Brad Stevens needed him in his life. And guess what? I'm glad Brad did, because I've needed Drew Holiday in my life. Listen, do we all miss Marcus Smart? Sure. But when you watch Drew Holiday, you don't even think about Marcus Smart. It is unbelievable. Listen, I'm a little concerned about the dead arm. Don't get me wrong. I mean, that's a weird injury, but it's been like a month, so hopefully it's okay. But this dude was brought here for a reason. If Al is the babysitter of the kids, Drew is the parent that comes home and says, "Did everyone behave?" Oh, I don't think so. And like, that's who he is. He can be the coach. He can be the leader. He's been to a championship. He's won championships. He's played tough games, even against the Celtics, right? Drew Holiday was on all those Bucks teams. And the fact that Drew Holiday has taken so much off of his plate and continued to be almost a 43% three-point shooter this year, best of his career, is absolutely insane. I mean, Drew Holiday in the corner for three-pointers is insane. Left corner, 58.8%. Right corner, 62.5% from three. Absolutely unbelievable. Tatum drives and dishes. I'm telling you this right now. If there is a 1-3-1 and Tatum gets a screen up top, and let's say the screen is against Terry Rozier, and Tyler Hero comes over to try and get him, and let's say Caleb Martin's in the middle, all Tatum has to do is dish it over to the right corner where Drew Holiday is, and Bam Adebayo is going to have to leave the paint to come all the way over to get Drew Holiday. And Drew Holiday, 62.5% three-point shooter. Good luck defending that. Good luck. And speaking about defending, shout out Derek White. I mean, when Derek White, folks, gets 2 days of rest or more, he shoots 40% from three. He scores more points, gets more rebounds, gets more blocks, and gets more assists. So after game one, guess what? 2 days of rest. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Like, the way that this team is set up and how health is so important to them, the later they get, the more rest they get. So go balls to the wall. Next thing you know, you're going to get 2 days off, 3 days off. I'm pretty sure there's a month off between each NBA Finals game. It's absolutely insane. I mean, Derek White, what he has done this year is exactly what you want him to do during the playoffs. Both ends, right? Find the open guys, hit the open shots, block shots, defend, make people feel uncomfortable, help with double teams, be the vocal leader on the defensive end. And listen, Derek has gone through some slumps this year shooting, but he'll be able to knock down a lot of shots, especially in his zone. He's got a quick trigger, and he just does everything right, and it's great to watch. And, you know, thinking about Xavier Tillman, I don't think Xavier Tillman is going to get a lot of run as the playoffs go. Like, if you look at matchups, whether it's the Knicks or 76ers or whatever the case may be, but he may get some run here to kind of be physical with Bam Adebayo and kind of make him get out of the paint and make him feel uncomfortable. So keep an eye on that. But I'm really not expecting a lot from Xavier Tillman, but glad he's here. And same thing with Luke Kornet. Luke Kornet in certain series can be a matchup problem. Like, if, you know, if Allen Porzingis are in foul trouble and Bam Adebayo is too, Luke Kornet can come in and easily score a couple points, because I'm not worried about Thomas Bryant, their backup center. Like, give me an effing break there. Or Kevin Love either. But, I mean, listen, Kevin Love is still very good. But it will be fun watching Al Horford and Kevin Love's couple old school guys play. But let's talk about Tingus Pingus. Porzingis. Like, all I want from him is to be a little bit more physical. Like, he has never experienced anything like this in his career. Ever. Ever. Like, and if he has, it's not anywhere close. I don't know how many times he's been in the playoffs, to be honest with you. I don't give a fuck how many times he's been in the playoffs. But he's never experienced TD Garden or being a Boston Celtic during a playoff run. But playoff experience with him should hopefully get soaked in very quickly. And it could be an issue, you know. Game 6, Eastern Conference Finals, if the Celtics make it there. Is Porzingis going to be ready to go if it's on the road and the Celtics need a win to make it 3-2? Who knows? But if he can be a little bit more physical, he can take this team to new heights. Now, of course, while you're being physical, you got to be healthy. That's obviously very key. But I mean, 20 points, 7 boards, 2 blocks a game this season, that's unbelievable. It's great, but can he do like 19-11? He has only had 13 games with 10 rebounds or more this season. That kind of makes me feel a little bit uncomfortable, but knowing that you have a couple days off here and there, does he give a little extra effort on the rebounding side of the ball? Because we all know how great he is offensively, right? I mean, when they played OKC in March, he got 12 rebounds and they won. And then when they played the Bucks, you know, what was that? No, they played OKC in April, but then when they played the Bucks right after that, he only got 3 rebounds in 27 minutes and they got absolutely smoked. So Porzingis rebounding is key, but also his shooting. You know, I mean, to have a big man to be able to shoot the way he does and be confident in his shot is unbelievable. So as long as Porzingis trusts his teammates, trusts the offense, and trusts his shot, he's going to give us everything that he did during the regular season offensively. But can he just give us a few more rebounds? And then finally, we have Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. I have a lot to say about these guys because I love them so much. I feel like we've watched them grow up. I mean, year 7 for Tatum, year 8 for Jaylen Brown. Absolutely unbelievable. They've both grown as individuals, as human beings, businessmen, community leaders, locker room leaders, basketball players, whatever the case may be. I mean, you look at Tatum this season, his scoring went down, but his turnovers down, his assists are up. He took a sacrifice. Then you look at Jaylen Brown. You can kind of sense he wants this more than ever. I feel like Jaylen Brown is now the dog on this team, and I'm kind of into it. Yes, his scoring is down, but his assists are up. I mean, he's not getting 5 assists a game, but his assists are up, and his 3-point shooting is up too. But there are a few things that I am a little concerned about. You know, thinking about Jaylen Brown real quick. The first is his 3-point shooting, which has been up and down kind of all year. Like in April, he shot 28% from three. This month he's shot 28% from three. And then when you go back in February, it was 30%. But there's been some times where it's 38, 39%. And overall this season, I think he's shooting like 36 or 37% from three. So that's solid. If Jaylen Brown can shoot 37% from three throughout this entire run, holy guacamole. Like, good luck to everyone. But of course, the turnovers, I mean, duh, we have to talk about it, but I'm not talking about like his left hand, right? Like, I believe that's improved this year. Is it still not ideal? Sure, but it's gotten better. I just still think he makes like bad playmaking decisions. In March, he had 1.6 turnovers per game, right? Like, holy shit, that's unreal for Jaylen Brown. But then this April, it's 3.8. Now, I know what you're probably saying. Well, in April, they really weren't trying that much, you know? They really didn't care that much. Yeah, but 3.8 turnovers a game with 2.5 assists per game. I don't care if you're trying or not. That fucking sucks in plain English. But Jaylen has to have more assists than turnovers at least by 2 every single game. So if he has 5 assists, 3 turnovers are fine. But he can't have 4 turnovers and 2 assists. That is not how this team is going to win basketball, especially late in games when everything is going to slow down, even though it shouldn't, right? And then, of course, just thinking about it, it's going to make me very angry. So excuse me here while I take a deep breath. Jaylen Brown's free throw shooting is going to cost this team a game or two. I pray zero, but it's going to cost them a game or two. This is his worst free throw shooting year since the 2018-2019 season. I think he attacks more, like, he attacks the rim more with purpose than he ever has before, but I kind of want him to finish better. Like, he doesn't have to dunk on everyone. Like, go in for that finger roll layup, get 2, and that way you're going to the line for 1 instead of shoot. Oh, I do a burp. I do a burp every episode, and there it is. So shout out to my buddy John Curley. But if Jaylen can just attack the rim with finesse, but also with purpose, if he can have multiple options, if he sees an open lane, throw it down on him. But if you see 2 or 3 defenders, try and find a way to go around them, lay it up and in. Like, and get 1 free throw instead of 2, because I think that will help every Celtics fan stress level. And I also think it's a mental thing for Jaylen too. But Jaylen Brown's free throw shooting is something we have to focus on. But I do want to mention one positive thing about Jaylen Brown that I don't think is being spoken enough about this year. Jaylen Brown, during the summer, mentioned that he wanted to be all-defensive NBA team. I don't think that's going to happen this year, but his defense has been absolutely unbelievable. If you look at his numbers against Devin Booker, Anthony Edwards, Paul George, all those guys that, you know, are just solid scorers that can get to the rim, do whatever they want, Jaylen's been unbelievable. And if Jaylen Brown in this upcoming Heat series can lock down Tyler Hero, I don't see how the Celtics lose this series. Like, it's literally impossible. He has been so good defensively, and if he can be that good defensively, get others involved on the offensive end and still get his scoring wise, holy guacamole, right? Like, holy guacamole. And let's talk about Jason Tatum, right? Jason Tatum, I feel like, always plays to the next level whenever one of his friends are around. Like, you look at whenever he plays Bradley Beal, when he was on the Wizards, he would always destroy them. Or the Suns this year, he played very well. And then you look at what he did in number 12 in Dallas in January. It was a lot of fun. Terry Rozier is his friend. Destroy him. Make scary Terry scared. Like, that's what he has to do. Jason Tatum needs to realize he has no friends on the court, especially the refs, right? The refs are not your friend. Shut the fuck up, stop complaining, and just play basketball. Seriously, you're one of the best players in the NBA. You'll get yours. You may not get every call, but you'll get yours. Hustle back. And if you have a stupid-ass turnover, that's okay. But when you look at Jason Tatum's playmaking this year, that is something that I am going to be lasered focus in, because when you look back in February, Jason Tatum's playmaking was ungodly. 6.7 assists per game while still dropping 27 points per game. If we can get 28 points, 8 rebounds, and 6 assists from Jason Tatum at like this entire run, who's going to beat us? Right? Maybe the Nuggets, but who's going to beat us? It's at, like, he doesn't have to be Kobe Bryant every single time. He has to be Jason Tatum. Give me 28, 8, and 6, or 28, 7, and 5, or 37, and 5, whatever the case may be. But Jason Tatum also has to be a great lockdown defender as we go, and Tatum's defense has improved this year for sure. I mean, you started a couple years ago when the Celtics swept the Brooklyn Nets when Durant was on the team. He played great defense on Kevin Durant, but I'm telling you this right now. Jason Tatum's playmaking, and as long as he doesn't decide to play too much ISO ball, this team can be really, really good. And as far as Joe Mazzulla goes, Joe Mazzulla is a fucking lunatic. And I kind of like it. I'm kind of worried about it. I kind of like it. And I'm kind of scared of it. And I kind of like it. He's a good coach. He's not a great coach. He's a good coach. But he has to let Charles Lee help him. He has to let Sam Cassell help him. Charles Lee has had long playoff runs. Sam Cassell has won championships here in Boston and back in the day with the Houston Rockets many, many moons ago. Joe can't overthink. Joe has to also be calm and relaxed. Like, he can't go out in the court and block players' shots before timeouts. Like, it's absolutely ridiculous. But I'll end on this, folks. This is the most important season of our lives. I'm telling you this right now. It is the most important season of our lives. Brad Stevens has pulled off miracles to make this team one of the best top six teams the NBA has seen in a long, long time. Banner 18 is needed. It is wanted. It has to be had. Banner 18 is everything. I fucking need it. I need it more than anything in the world. I really do. I need it more than a smile. I need it more than a breath of fresh air. Fucking bring it home, Boston Celtics. You got everything you need. You got two top 20 players in the NBA. You got an all-star in Tingus Pingus. You got a guy who's going to be a fucking Olympian in Drew Holiday. You got an all-defensive guy in Derek White. You have those beautiful eyes of Al Horford coming off the bench. Folks, this is a therapy session, and I need Banner 18. I don't care if I sound like a fucking lunatic right now, but I need Banner 18. I have to have Banner 18. We all need it. You need it. I need it. Your mother needs it. Your father needs it. Your sister needs it. Your dog needs it. Everyone needs it. Everyone in the city. Even if you're not in the city, you need it if you're a Boston Celtics fan. There is no excuse, minus injury, why this team cannot go to the finals quickly. This is what this team has to do. You want to impress people. You want to scare the piss out of people. You want people to respect you. Go in and beat everyone quick. No one gives a fuck if you win a 7-game series, right? Go win this first in 4 or 5. Go win the next one in 5 or 6. And go win the Eastern Conference Finals in 6. And then go win the NBA Finals in 5 or 6. Beat everyone down. Beat everyone good. Show them why Mazzulla ball, even though insane, actually works. Don't overthink it. You're all grown-ass men who have played basketball for years and years and years, and I've watched you years and years and years, and it's getting kind of annoying that you can't close out games, but fucking finish them. Finish those games. Make that extra pass. Go get that fucking rebound, and for the love of God, go get Banner 18.
Sorry, but I'm gone. history. And I dedicated my life to the Boston Celtics. I dedicated my life to the fans of Boston. I did my very best to please each and every one of you. Good night.